Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hi there, everybody. Evan Roberts here on The Fan on a Saturday morning, the last Saturday without regular season baseball. Hoffman, Matt Casey hanging out with us. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit, but joining me right now, a guy you can follow on Twitter. He works for Stadium, and that's Jeff Goodman. Jeff, good to talk to you twice in 1 week. My God, I'm lucky. How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Fantastic. Now, you were at the Duke game, and so you're getting to see Zion Williamson up close and personal. I thought the loose ball that he chased down and turned into a bucket was probably, to me, the most impressive Zion highlight of the game. But give me your thoughts on that and everything else you saw from Zion Williamson yesterday.
You know, the mobility, right? The mobility at 285 pounds. I remember having a conversation with LeBron earlier this year when he came into Boston and played the Celtics. And I've seen LeBron since he was in high school. And we were just talking about the comparison for Zion. He hadn't seen him at this point in person, but obviously a lot of people were comparing him to LeBron because of the size, the body build. And LeBron, I asked him, I said, what were you when you were back your first year in the NBA? I said, I was like 225 pounds. He said, what's Zion, 260? I said, no, he's 285. And 285, the way he moves, you know, in terms of the explosiveness, the quickness, and then you put in the skill level, which is way better than any of us thought. And he did. He took over the game. And after the game, this is the first time I thought this, but after the game, he's doing his post-game stuff, and I'm listening to him. And I kind of had flashbacks of LeBron and just the maturity that LeBron had at that age to be able to command a room. He was very well-liked. He was very well-spoken for a young kid. And Zion has some of those same qualities.
These 16 versus 1 matchups usually go one of two ways. Forget Virginia last year for a second. Either it is a complete blowout from the get-go, and it's obvious they don't belong on the same floor as the other team. We saw that with Gonzaga, unfortunately, against Fairleigh Dickinson the day before. And then you get a little bit of what we saw yesterday, where a team hangs around, but it's usually because the number one seed is sluggish. Duke did not come out and play well in the first half of this game. They were down 7 early. They ended up, I think, up 4 at the end of the first half. They had expanded that lead at 1 point to 7. And then, obviously, they turned the engines on in the second half. But what about the way they played overall in the first half, at least giving North Dakota State a little bit, tiny glimmer of hope?
Yeah, I mean, we got to remember their four main players are all freshmen. It was their first NCAA tournament game. So I think they were playing. Trey Jones told me afterwards they had to shake off some of those jitters and just kind of get through it. And, you know, listen, again, I had just got done seeing Virginia, and they struggled for the entire first half with a veteran team. Obviously, they had something different going on in the back of their minds from a year ago, but you know, I think ultimately you need to get past that first one. And again, this is a young Duke team that really doesn't shoot the ball well from the perimeter. And they were kind of, you know, to be honest, they were just kind of, you know, taking some of those shots instead of just driving the ball at North Dakota State, taking it at them, which they did in the second half. Then they got to open it up in the open court, and then they just, you know, really turned it on.
You know, before this season started, we're told, or at least I'm told as a very casual college basketball fan, Cam Reddish is a lottery pick. He's a top 5 pick. I got to tell you, every time I watch him, I don't walk away that impressed thinking he's really going to be that player at the next level. Am I missing something about Cam Reddish, or has this really been that disappointing of a season for the freshman?
You know, I've seen Cam play for a while. I talked to him last night for a while after the game. And Cam Reddish hasn't been able to showcase his game because R.J. Barrett is so ball dominant, right? R.J. Barrett's either got the ball in his hands or Trey Jones has the ball in his hands. Cam Reddish was a point guard in high school. Not to say he's going to be a point guard at the next level, but he's got some of those skills. He needed to be somewhere where he was forced to be the guy. because he's got a mentality of like Rudy Gay a little bit. You know, casual, great kid, smiling, happy, but not a killer. So he almost needed to go somewhere, in my opinion, that he had to be the guy and was going to average 20 by default, and the whole offense was going to run through him. But I give him credit. He's kind of taken a step back, hasn't complained at all, and has just kind of done what the team has needed and be like the third or fourth guy.
So you think he'll still be a real good player at the next level? It's just kind of hurting him because of the talent level of the team he's on right now?
I think a lot depends on the coach
right.
that coaches him in the NBA and the players that are around him. And if they can get it out of him, I think so much of it for Cam Reddish is psychological. And again, he's not a killer. I don't think he's going to be a number one guy.
Right.
But could he be like a Joe Johnson type at the next level? Yeah, I mean, I think he can. I think he's got to work. I mean, that's the biggest concern for me. Like, we know Zion and RJ are workers. Like, they are workers. Zion's going to be a good perimeter shooter. He's going to get better because he's going to work. RJ
right.
has always been a professional and been motivated since he was a young kid to work. I think Cam needs the right people around him.
We're talking to Jeff Goodman. I wouldn't say it was a white-knuckle game for Virginia, but they were down by 14. They had to probably, in their head, think about what happened a year ago. Any concern about the way they played against Gardner-Webb, or do you think they almost needed this to overcome what happened a year ago, overcome the early deficit against a 16 seed, and now maybe we'll see Virginia go on a deep run?
Yeah, that's what Kyle Guy told me after the game. He said, listen, we probably needed something like this, some adversity again, and get past it. That we can kind of draw on for the rest of the tournament. But Ty Jerome's quote to me was the best. I said, like, what was it like? You know, you're down 28-14 with about 7.5 minutes left. What was it like? And he looked at me. He's like, the pressure is real, man. The pressure is real. And they've never shied away from it. Like, I give them credit. A lot of teams would have tried to kind of gloss over it as much as they can, not talk about it. They've done that from the get-go, and now they feel like, relieved, and the weight of the world has been lifted off their shoulders going forward now.
Did you think, down 14 in the first half, honestly, did you think, oh, my God, this is going to happen again?
No, but I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening right now. I didn't think they would lose, but I thought, I can't believe we're at this point right now where this game could be interesting.
Yeah.
And they made a run at the end of the first half, and then they came out in the second half, and you could see their body language. Everything just changed once they took the lead. And, you know, again, I think it's a good story. I was shocked. Listen, to me, tickets for that first session were going for like $5 or $10. And I get it's Virginia. But, like, I still feel like Virginia was kind of the story of the first round. But people didn't really latch onto it like I thought they would. And, you know, it's all about Zion. And the cost there was about $300 from what the scalpers were telling me just to get in the door last night to watch the Zion show.
Wow. Man, he's a rock star right now. He's a Beatle, that's for sure. We're talking to Jeff Goodman. I watched Arizona State St. John's in the play-in game a few nights ago, and St. John's was awful. I didn't walk away that impressed with Arizona State. That's why when I watched Buffalo just run them out of the gym and put up 91 against them, half of me was really impressed by Buffalo. I've not had a chance to see a lot of them this year. And the other half is skeptical because of who they played. Your thoughts on Buffalo with that victory and now moving forward?
They're men. I mean, they're older. They fit well together. They've got the kid C.J. Massenburg who has made big shots all season and, you know, dating back to at West Virginia and at Syracuse. They're not scared. They think they – and remember, this is the team that blew out Arizona last year. And DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick, that crushed Arizona. Now they beat their former coach. They've got shooters in this kid, Jeremy Harris. They got Massenburg. They got Diggs and Perkins up front coming off the bench. They don't look like a mid-major team, and they don't think they are. I picked against them, and it's funny. Jeremy Harris and Nate Oates, I've known for a while here, and they both texted me, you know, more fuel to the fire. They use this fuel to the fire, but they really believe, like, they're a Final Four team this year. They honestly believe it would not be a shock if they got to the Final Four.
Wow, that'd be something. Of today's games, I know for me personally, I'm most interested in Murray State versus Florida State, and a part of that is Ja Morant. A part of that is my own selfish bracket, and I think it's going to be an entertaining game. Of the eight today, what's the game you're most excited for?
come on, admit, all of it is about Ja Morant. You're not excited to see Florida State. You don't
I have them making a deep run, so for my bracket, I am excited to see
All right. I'll give it to you. For me, it's the game I'm going back to right now. I'm going to see Wofford, Kentucky. And no P.J. Washington for Kentucky, and I don't know when they're going to have him back. I mean, he's in a cast, so I don't even know how he's going to play next week. We'll see if he does, if they win today. And if you haven't seen Fletcher McGee from Wofford, you got to see him. I mean, you got – like, it's going to be fun to watch because early on, Seton Hall did a good job guarding him. And then you could tell they kind of tired out chasing him through screens. And then he doesn't need much. Like, he needs a sliver to be able to shoot the basketball. He needs no space, no time whatsoever. And Keldon Johnson, Tyler Hero, they're going to have help for him. Ashton Hagens. A little bit of everybody is going to have to help out on Fletcher McGee. But Wofford has more than just McGee. They got Cam Jackson down low, who's a load. So without P.J. Washington, a lot of it falls on Reed Travis because Nick Richards, their other big, he was terrible the other night. Terrible. I mean, so they're going to need – Wofford's going to need to trade threes for twos. And if they can do that, they got a chance in this one.
Yeah, that Fletcher McGee was a pain in the rear end to watch because not only do you give him a slither, he'll kill you. He takes some of the ugliest shots you'll ever see, and then they're gorgeous as they splash through. As someone rooting against them, because I'm a Seton Hall fan, that was actually really horrific to watch.
I went up to him after the game, and I was leaving. Right after the game ended, I had to leave to try to get to halfway, get to Savannah, and eventually get to wherever the heck I went. Columbia. And I couldn't leave the arena without going up to him. And the only thing I said to him was, man, I apologize. And he looked at me. He's like, what? I said, I apologize that I've only seen you once in person in 4 years. Like, I feel like I cheated myself by not seeing you more. And I saw him a lot on TV, but, like, it's different. In person, that kid is just so much fun to watch because when he gets going, and, again, he set the record, all-time leading three-point shooter in college basketball history. And like you said, his shots, man, his shot selection is not something that you want to live with as a coach early in your career. But Mike Young made it clear. Like, he's like, don't ever tell that kid, he told his staff, don't ever tell that kid it was a bad shot, ever, when he shoots the ball.
About P.J. Washington, and I don't know when we're going to see him because you mentioned he's in the boot. We also saw him roll in on that weird contraption where he's got his knee down, he's rolling in. How big of a factor is that? I mean, they beat Albin Christian. Now they got to go up against Wofford. If they beat them, they potentially have to face a team like Houston or Ohio State. How far can they go if P.J. Washington isn't back and healthy?
I mean, he was their best player. He was clearly like the guy who turned around their season. They were kind of average until he became great and turned it on. Now, again, the other guys certainly have the potential. It's going to put a lot more on Reed Travis. And again, Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery need to give him something, especially on the glass today. But yeah, I don't think they can win at all without P.J. Washington. But to me, with P.J. Washington, they could absolutely win this whole thing.
Now, real quick, the last hope for the Big East is Villanova. They at least got to the weekend, taking on Purdue. Give me some thoughts on the chances of Villanova making a little bit of a run and upsetting Purdue today.
Yeah, listen, the biggest thing is you've got to be able to contain Carson Edwards. You know he's the guy, and like you talked about Fletcher McGee, they're very different how they do it, but he takes bad shots. I mean, contested, terrible shots. He did not have a good Big Ten slate, but he's capable of going for 30, 35 any given night. You want to turn him into a low-efficiency, high-volume guy. And if you do that, he's not making the shots. Everybody else is kind of standing around. Matt Painter's done a great job with this team this year to get him to the point they were a three seed. I don't know how he did it. But he did it, and you gotta make sure you find their shooters also. That's kind of the key thing too, is make sure you tag their shooters. But you don't know what Villanova team's gonna show up. The only thing you know about is Villanova's had some pretty good success over the last 3 years in the NCAA tournament, so you probably don't pick against them, when it comes to Villanova Purdue, just because of the Phil Booth, Eric Pascal, and Jay Wright factor, I guess.
No question. Jeff, I appreciate it. Good talking to you again.
No, always. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Jeff Goodman. You can follow him at Goodman Hoops, basketball analyst at watchstadium.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.